All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
And Steelers. Steelers, 365 days a year.
Style points don't matter. We win the game. This is a legendary defense.
On Trimble Live Radio.
We're going to find out how legendary this defense is, how legendary Dick LeBeau was, how Keith Butler does, a.k.a. USA Today Sports. We got Neil on the line?
Yeah, we got him.
What's going on, Neil? How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you gentlemen doing this fine afternoon?
Pretty good. We're doing well. See, you've been busy. You put together a list or a little sneak peek at the Steelers' salary cap situation heading into
Really what they want to do with the future of their offensive line. I mean, I think the key piece that you have in my mind is the contract right now for Calvin Beecham. I mean, they're really not paying him anything for the production that they're getting. He's got to be one of the best bargains in the NFL. That said, that all changes this offseason, which it seems like that's kind of a foregone conclusion. And next year, before the start of free agency, try to figure out what the long-term answer is at that left tackle position. I mean, what they have right now with Beecham, it works. I mean, he's a good player. He's come a long way in the time that he's had, and in as well in the final year of his contract. So it's the cap itself is going to play out, I think, largely based on what they want to do with the left side of that offensive line. I think Beecham is versatile enough that he might be able to move inside if they're able to use the draft to find a left tackle that can play right away, and the talent that they might have. So they're going to need a lot of players to, you know, kind of outplay those rookie deals, and they're going to need to be able to get them on the field if they want to be sustainable enough to keep everybody that they have.
I really love Beecham, Neil, but I got to admit, I'm not sure he's worth $10 million-plus per season. It's a bit like
the Max Stark situation doesn't teach everybody a bit about history. I don't know what does. I mean, if you read that year for year and everything that happened to him, there's obviously a good amount of discord internally regarding Max Starks and the situation that he had. I mean, they put a transition tag on him, which I told him that happened. They had to call Charlie Batchoff, the union rep at the time, to get him to explain exactly what it was. They weren't even sure what it meant. So, resorting to something like that, in my mind, really, it's suggestive that they just aren't sure for what they have. I mean, you saw it for Jason Wilborn at the $10 million range for that tackle position. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say a franchise that, you know, really has not had a high-level left tackle player throughout its history. There have been some decent ones, but there hasn't been one that you're talking, you know, multitudes throughout their history. You just haven't seen it at that spot. Do they feel they can find another Calvin Beecham, a seventh-round pick, grows into a guy that's starting over the guy they took in the second round to play that position? Can they strike lightning? Will lightning strike like that again twice for him in just the span of a couple of years? That's a question.
I talked about maybe a couple weeks ago. Ramon Foster's a guy who's on his last year. Mike Adams is on his last year. You know, you have to wonder, one of these guys, maybe two of them, might be the odd guys out. Does it make it easier to try to keep one as opposed to another? Or are we looking at a situation where all three of these guys might have to play for their next contract?
Group of guys. And in that, with the Steelers in particular, they want to keep the guys around that they like, you know, to put it simply. They don't want to say, well, you know what, we can get a better deal with this guy because, you know, he's all right, that, you know, we're not sure about him long term, but he's cheaper right now, let's keep they like. If they have to pay him for that, then so be it. As far as Adams goes, they have an experienced tackle, a guy that's played in the system, you know, his entire career. Perhaps hasn't made the best choices while he's been there, and the talent level certainly hasn't appeared the way that scouts and coaches thought that it would. It's character, guys that are going to motivate others, they're going to mentor others. You can start over at backup tackle. I don't think that you can, you know, promote Adams in any way. And, you know, if he's playing for his next contract, he's going to be doing it on the bench for whatever that's worth. You're not going to see him really playing all that much of the season. I think he's earned that, to be honest.
And all his latest, including the look at the salary cap here, and the cap over on defensive line. I know you wrote about Brett Kiesel as well here recently, Neil. Somehow, God bless America, Cam Thomas is still making $2 million. Is he going to see the light of day when the season
to go on? He doesn't play in the game, just keeps getting fights with offensive line. I think it's great. You want a guy like that, the antagonist. That makes a good story. I haven't seen Gathers. at this point, I can't say whether or not he's somebody that's going to be able to contribute on Sunday, even to the degree that the role that he played last year. He was getting a lot more snaps toward the end of the year, and he played a good amount against Baltimore in the playoffs. That pretty much means Thomas is going to be there in a reserve capacity. And if anything, Thomas, you know, as you suggest, I think he's probably going to compete against a guy like Gathers just for Cameron Hayward, obviously, Stephon Tuitt. I think McCullers is behind them in terms of the depth chart, and I think he can play nose tackle as well. But they're going to want him to be that utility defensive lineman that they hoped Cam Thomas would be last season. Didn't really work all that well for him. But moving past that, a guy like Gathers, and in that, yeah, I think he can give a guy like Thomas a run for his money. We really didn't see a whole lot of good things from Cam Thomas last season. I mean, it wasn't, I don't think it's quite as dramatic as many will make it out to be, but there's always that one player in the Steelers team that fans will just, you know, irrationally get after all the time. Maybe that's Thomas in the training camp either, but the fact that they didn't release him before free agency and try to recoup some of that cap money suggests that they, you know, are going to give him a legitimate shot at it. But a good camp from another younger defensive lineman. It wouldn't surprise me if they send him packing.
And Kiesel, you think a real chance they'll keep him in mind?
Vacated. They've kind of kept that aside. And look at it tomorrow. If you know, God forbid, Stephon Tuitt, you know, falls getting off the airplane and breaks his leg and is out for 6 months, Kiesel's probably going to get a call. I mean, it's just a question of, this is a plug-and-play player. He knows exactly what he needs to do. Triceps tear isn't going to be the easiest thing to recover from. So if he's in shape, though, and they have a need. Right now they don't have a need. But if they have a need, you know, due to injury come training camp, I think they would bring him back.
We were talking yesterday on the show, Neil, about the snap distribution. This guy's made a long career and thinking about his workload. First of all, when he's out for however long it'll be, three games, what do you think the share time will be between D'Angelo and the other running backs? And then when Le'Veon comes back, do you think it'll be the same as last year where basically D'Angelo...
Unless Williams is injured or something, you know, if something goes wrong with his equipment in some way, I don't see why you get them on the field. Just in the sense that you sign Williams to do exactly that. And in Bell's case, he took the vast majority of the carries. The offense is used to a three-down running back being in the game. You might want to bring somebody else in, but it's not going to be a competition in my mind. I don't see. You know what? I'll reserve it by saying this. Let's look at what Josh Harris has come training camp. He was a young player last year, but he looked lost against Baltimore. He didn't really have a good sense of what they have with Williams, the veteran presence who knows how to block and knows how to catch. You've got to keep that on the field for the offense's sake. When Bell comes back, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, he's Le'Veon Bell. He's an all-pro player. He's earned that distinction because of how good he is, and you see the production there. But other than that, you keep Le'Veon Bell on the field as long as he wants to be on the field.
Yeah, I wonder if he will. It's hard to imagine him wanting to come off more frequently, but just those comments made me think maybe he and Tomlin will come to some kind of a timeshare agreement, you know what I mean? A snap here or there, a series here.
Last year, I think that the handling of the LeGarrette Blount situation after the Tennessee game was what had to happen. But it was brought upon by what happened before that. For the sake of the long term, can you afford to let the veteran sitting behind the star down the line? That isn't to say that he's going to walk off the field or anything like that. It's more, let's not throw somebody out there who hasn't touched the ball all year. I mean, we saw what happened with Harris again last year against Baltimore. Even Ben Tate, the way he looked with off time for when he was released by Minnesota before he came into, you know, trying to spell your all pro player a little bit, I don't think it's a terrible idea. I guess from that perspective, I mean, I could see 5-6 carries a game, something like that for Williams. Knowing Tomlin, though, they're going to let the game dictate whatever that's going to be.
Well, and, you know, some of the other issues, it's interesting that you're hearing some chatter from players talking about how complex LeBeau's scheme was. Not that this one is simple, I guess we don't know that yet, but if there's anything at all that we've heard in terms of chatter, it's maybe they have tried to scale it back for a few guys and maybe some of the younger guys.
I think you kind of have to, and when they were, you know, at their best, when they were playing really well together, they had continuity, and in that, you're able to open up the playbook a bit more. You're able to do more things because more people are used to what's going on. The defense has largely been overhauled over the last 2 years. I mean, there are a lot of young guys in there who put on top of those complications a more difficult, more complex scheme that requires players to recognize more things and know what's going to happen. They're not used to doing exactly what they're doing. You have to kind of bring it along a little bit more slowly, I think. And that said, I mean, I'm going to wait for, you know, Keith Bright of a unit last year, and I think that there are things he's going to want to change just because now he's in charge. These are things that he wants to do that he always felt would work. You want to give him the freedom to be able to do that. I want to see what it looks like. I mean, I think right now there's a lot to be said about projecting what they could do or what they might be seeing, that kind of thing, on that team from an athletic standpoint. I think we need to find out, of the athletes, which one of them are going to be football players. Yeah. You know, you look at a guy like Bud Dupree, you look at a Jarvis Jones. Can these guys develop into good football players? That's what we don't know right now. I think the scheme has to largely depend on that. They have to be able to put these guys. It makes for a compelling offseason. I think that's going to be the storyline heading into the year.
And last thing, you know, looking at your list of salary cap layout here, the fact that Lamar Woodley is eating up $8.5 million of dead money this year, is that accurate? God, let's hope Dupree just doesn't turn into that.
Sadly.
Wow.
You had to give him at the time. And you look at Woodley's production midway through that 2011 season. You look at what he was doing. I mean, he was literally chasing Tom Brady down for what would have been his third sack of the half when he came up lame. And you know, his hamstring never really recovered. And his numbers, you know, heading into that injured game, I think it was, what, week 8 or week 9 against New England back in 2011. If he doesn't get hurt, you're looking at a guy, he's top 3 in sacks. You know, and then the contract is justified. He gets hurt, and frankly, it was time to move on, I think, at that point. I was kind of worried. We don't have any faith that he's going to remain healthy, and he hasn't. They were right to cut him. I mean, it sucks to you have to take on, you know, that much of a cap hit for a player who's literally doing nothing for you, but you can take some comfort in the fact that he isn't doing much for the Cardinals either. He didn't do anything for the Raiders last year. So, it's one of those things you just kind of move
to.
It didn't seem like it, at least. No. I mean, everything fell apart for him. I mean, what was it, a bicep tear last year?
I think so, yep. Hey, Neil, good stuff. Enjoy the reads, and keep up the good work over at USA Today and at Neil Coolong on Twitter. We appreciate you coming on with us. Million, which I didn't know how that worked either, Josh, because, you know, he's retiring, theoretically. That dead money does not come off the books, I guess.
I guess because it counts his salary from this year, which I think is $2.5 million, and then the $2 million that he's out next
bonus.
Year. The bonus that he's out from next year counts.
So between Polamalu and Woodley, that's...
Do as far as re-signing some of these guys, because they'll have that $13 million next year, so...
True.
That's something that helps them. Plus, they'll probably save... They save almost another million with a... LeGarrette Blount and Lance Moore's money off the books, too. So he was on that list. Lance Moore was on that list. And Landry Jones was on that list for me.
Yeah. I think they're just keeping Thomas now as like a – they're going to keep him up until the last possible minute as a fail-safe. Like,
he's in
could
case
do a
of,
lot worse.
In case of emergency, break open glass. That's a
– Minicamp closed for the week. Here are the quotes – credit to DK on Pittsburgh Sports for these from some of the players talking about Butler. DK talked to, as he describes them, Josh, two anonymous linebackers. Maybe makes it more mysterious not to name who these guys are. Quote, oh, you have no idea. The things that you were asked to do, the things that you had to process, you had to do so much thinking you couldn't just react, you couldn't just play football. You couldn't just say, okay, I know what I've got to do. Now I'm going to do it, not for a long while, end quote. Said young linebackers, guys had to think. Heck no, they didn't even have to talk to each other. They knew everything. Same thing with Clark and Polamalu. It's just not the same for us. Not yet. We're getting there. We're working. We're communicating, but we're not there, end quote. Sounds, though, like he's criticizing LeBeau's system to me.
Can I guess who they are?
Okay.
And I will guess the second one. I guess the second one is Vince Williams.
I think those are pretty good guesses. Second one, according to Deion, said it took him 2 full years before he fully understood the playbook and all its nuances, much less...
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Could be several guys, I guess. I mean, those are two obvious ones. Could be Shazier.
It could be Spence, because Shazier only played one season. So it's either Spence or Williams. And he used Ferrier and Foot as the analogy.
Could be Terrence Garvin, though. But he's got to learn it, though. I mean, he would at least be able to speak on it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, it's pretty good choice there. Young linebackers, those are the guys you look at. So let's see what Butler does, if he can get Bud Dupree.
Sounds like we're going to see less of Dick LeBeau's zone scheme coverage and more of linemen plug gaps, linebackers plug the holes. And if that's the case, I got no problem with that. I think this team's athletic enough to do it now. This unit, as they have, when you have two in what they do in the middle as far as eating up blockers and maybe eating up lanes, and letting guys like Spence and Williams and Timmons and Shazier, who can all move freely and clean whatever's left up, or clean up whatever's left out within the middle of the field, and then having Dupree and whether it's Harrison.
We'd be talking about 11 straight wins for the Pirates? That's a lot to ask.
I think it's a lot to ask.
Go to get Scherzer and Gio. The offense still scuffling a bit.
I think they could take 2 out of 3. But if you look at this series, I wouldn't say it's impossible for them.
Against the rookie. Joe.
I think the Morton versus Gonzalez game is winnable if Morton keeps doing what he's doing. It's Saturday's game. It's tomorrow's game that's the kicker. They can win 2 of 3. It depends on how sharp Liriano is tomorrow to determine if they sweep the series. I'll go out on a limb now and say Friday and Sunday I'll lock in.
Yeah, I'm going to say they lose both of those games now, and they'll beat Scherzer.
In which, you know what? With my luck, I'll say that, and that's exactly what will happen. That's how terrible my luck is at predicting games. I'm still stunned I got the NBA Finals right. Still stunned.
Yeah, especially with on Monday. And Guy Junker will be back in the building. Kevin Gorman next, Triple Live Radio.
Sturman and Larkin Ford, number one certified pre-owned Ford dealer in the South Hills, home of the $39.99 state inspection, emissions, and tire rotation. Visit StermanLarkin.com for other coupon offers. Over 100 used vehicles in stock. Over 40 low-mileage Ford line at StermanLarkin.com. That's StermanLarkin.com.